Hallelujah. Thank you. I want to thank the worship team for leading us here again this morning in this time of fellowship and praise and worship this morning. One of the beautiful things about fellowshipping here is that I get to see my grandchildren on a Sunday morning, my grandchildren are special, and I hope they all know that. And one of those special ones has a birthday tomorrow, that everybody was singing happy birthday here this morning, and there's one, Allie, her birthday is tomorrow, and she's special, and we're going to sing happy birthday for her. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Allie, happy birthday to you. Allie is special, and I'm going to just embarrass her a little bit with Louie. Louie's temperamental. So I can do anything I want to with Louie. I can pick him up. I can do anything with Louie. And there's only one other person in our family that can do that with Louie, and that's Allie. So Louie thinks Allie's all right. So, yeah, thank you, Allie. You are a blessing. Speaking of Louis, as we get into the sermon this morning, and you can turn with me to 1 Kings 17, and we're going to be looking at that chapter there and taking some thoughts from it that I think God has for us this morning. And one of the things that stood out to me is the whole, in this story we find where Elijah was sent by the brook and the ravens came and gave him bread and meat and everything was good, everything was going well. And I thought about how the time is that we live in, and I thought about Louie, and this morning, Louie spends the night outside, and he comes in the morning and wants to be fed. And so when Louie comes in and he's hungry, and you can almost do anything with him. He's rubbing up against your leg, and he's purring, and everything is fine. But once you feed him and he's finished eating, don't try to touch him. And he's become a little bit, I think, entitled to the fact that we're going to feed him. There's always going to be food there for him. And I wondered this morning how many of us may respond to God in a similar fashion. As long as God is feeding us, as long as God is providing for our physical needs, for our belly, for our financial needs, whatever it is, then we'll be real nice to him. We'll rub, we'll purr, we'll just be those people that really like him. What happens when the brook dries up? And I was challenged as I thought about this scripture this morning, and I looked into it, and we might as well read it because I'm giving the whole story before I get there. So let's look at 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 9 to start with here. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith that flows into Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." And verse 7 says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." And then verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" And I was challenged as I looked at that scripture, and I thought about all the things that went into it and how this all came about. And my question was, the question I was faced with, do I really trust God? Do I really trust God? Have I really had opportunity to exercise trust in my God, the God of the universe, the God that created me, the God that has given me all these things, the God that gave me family, the God that gave me a home, the God that gave me a place to work? and the God that gave me just about everything I can think that I possibly need in this world. What would happen? Would I still trust God if any one of those was taken away from me? Do you really trust God? Or do we just say that we do? Do we just say that? Yeah, I trust him. Sure, this is good. But what happens when the brook dries up? What happens when the brook dries up? Back in 1859, and we've heard this story before probably, but I'll tell it to you again. Back in 1859, there was a tightrope walker by the name of Charles Blondin. He amazed the world when he walked the tightrope across Niagara Falls. The cable sagged about 60 feet in the middle and formed a sharp slope, and the drop below him was nearly 200 feet, but he made it okay. He would perform this feat many more times, and each time would make it a little more risky. He crossed over blindfolded, on stilts, and wearing a gorilla suit and pushing a wheelbarrow. One time after crossing, he asked the audience, "Do you think that I can make it across pushing this wheelbarrow?" The crowd applauded and hollered, "Yes, you can do it." He pointed to one individual and asked him personally, "Do you, sir, think that I can push the wheelbarrow across on the tight rope?" "I sure do," answered the man, and Blondin replied, "Then get in." Needless to say, it didn't happen. Another time he asked the same question when the audience responded, "Yes, you can do it." He said, "Then climb on my back." The crowds believed that he could do it, but no one believed it enough to climb on his back. Only his manager was willing to do that. And he carried his manager across the tightrope on his back. But he told the manager that when he got on his back, he said, "Do not try to compensate. Let me adjust for any sway." Or he said, "We will both plunge to our death." So the manager just hung on and left. And when he felt like he needed to adjust, he had to let Blondin do the adjusting. And I could probably stop there. Are you trusting? Do you really, truly trust God this morning? What about when the brook dries up? What about when God goes silent? Do we trust him? I think there is a whole lesson that we can learn on trust that we have not at this point yet. We find Elijah sitting by the brook. We find Elijah carrying out the word of God to King Ahab and bringing the word to King Ahab and then being told, "You need to get out of here. You need to go hide." And so Elijah did. He went, and the ravens were there, just like God said. They brought him meat and bread, and they fed him. And the Bible here says that it happened after a while that the brook dried up. And scholars believe that if you look at the Old Testament, and many times when that phrase is used, after a while, a lot of times it references a year. So it is believed that approximately a year that Elijah was sitting by this brook with the ravens coming to feed him. Then there are those that would like to argue that the ravens weren't actually ravens. It was some people from a local village that were bringing him food. I believe it was God and it was ravens. Amen? Because you look at the life of Elijah. Look at all the things that God did through him. Is there any question in your mind that it was really ravens that brought him food? And if God can supply your need through the birds of the air, is there anything, any reason we do not have to trust him? Is there any reason? So we find this here, and we find ourselves in the same place. As the time went on without rain, the stream stopped flowing. But why? Why did the stream stop flowing? This was going good. Elijah was being fed. This drought was being carried out, and he was being fed. He had the brook. He could drink. And all of a sudden, one morning he wakes up and the brook was dry. Why? And maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself in that same place. Why did I get laid off? Why did my son or daughter have to die? Why did my 401k or my bank, my savings account go to nothing? Why? And some of you here are familiar enough with back in 2008 when you had, if you had any money in a 401k or an IRA, all of a sudden, in just a short period, it disappeared really quick. Okay? The brook dried up. Why? So we all come to this place where we find ourselves asking this question, why? Sometimes I believe God allows us to suffer loss to move us to another place. Think maybe that's true? That sometimes God allows us to suffer loss to move us to another place? And we get really comfortable. The brook is there. It's fresh. The meat and the bread is there. It's always fresh. But sometimes I believe God allows the brook to dry up to move us to another place. And I'm not talking about you needing to move to from Strasburg to Denver or whatever it is. I'm just, you know, it might be just that God is bringing you mentally to another place to be able to do something different. In this case, God moved Elijah to another place. So his instruction was, then the word of the Lord came in verse 8 to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. In verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink. Now remember, this was a drought, and it said that it didn't even give dew. There was, you didn't get up in the morning and the grass was wet and it just didn't rain. No, there wasn't even dew. There was no dew or rain. This was dry. And Elijah figured it was about 45 miles from where he was staying there by the brook to where he went to this place. So a couple of days, maybe 2 days walking to get there in a dry. And he's asking for just a little bit of water. Just a little bit of water. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, oh, by the way, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. He's not even asking for a big loaf or anything. He's asking for a morsel of bread in her hand is what he was asking for. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That gives you a sense of the gravity of the situation that this widow and her son found themselves in until Elijah showed up and asked to eat what they had left. They had probably rationed it down to the point where they were hungry, but they just took a little bit this day and took a little bit the next day. And now the flour is getting empty, the oil is getting empty. And here comes the man of God and says, feed me. There's times that instructions coming from God don't make sense. There's times that instructions do not make sense. And just a little humor, there's some instruction labels. There's one that's on a hair dryer that says, do not use while sleeping. There's another one on a baby stroller. It says that the warning on the baby stroller says, remove child before folding. Carpenter's drill has a label on it. This product is not intended for use for a dental drill. You know, they're ridiculous to be made fun of or laughed at when we preach and stuff like that. But what about when those instructions come from God that don't make sense? What about those instructions? And we see Elijah followed. So trusting God, I believe, is the challenge this morning that we're faced with, is trusting God when the brook dries up. And the other question is, are you where God wants you to be? And how is it possible that God would let Elijah sit still in the middle of a major drought for a year, sitting beside a stream when everybody else is suffering? How do these things work out? God takes this man who is absolutely nobody and he brings him to King Ahab. And the reason was that in this time, if you look back through the scriptures there, when Ahab took the position as king, he was more wicked. It says that he was more wicked, did more evil than all the other kings put together. This man was bad. And God called Elijah to come to him and tell him that if he doesn't repent, or that the land was going to face this here drought. And it did. This drought came upon the land. And later on, after this scripture, which I'm not going to get into, was when Elijah called them to the mount and defined who God really is. And one of the things that happened was that they were really getting steeped in Baal worship, which came through Jezebel, Ahab's wife, had introduced that to them. And they recognized the sun as they felt like when the sun came up, that was Baal's face looking on them. And when a rain cloud, the thunderheads came up, that was again Baal providing water for them. So it's pointed out in some scholars that it's interesting that the thing that God chose was that it wouldn't rain. It was like God was going to establish the fact that there is only one God. And so this is the scene that we find Elijah coming on the scene and first making his appearance and coming in and telling the king, that King Ahab, that it's not going to rain. And then God told him to run and hide, which I think was a good thing. God promised the prophet, and this is the thing that I want to point out to you that caught my attention again here. In verse 4, he said this, "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you." Where? There. Look at the scriptures. It goes on. In verse 9, it says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow," where? "There, to provide for you." And I ask you this morning, are you there? Are you there? Are you where God wants you? And I believe that there this morning is the place where we need to totally depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, or depend on God to provide our needs for us. Are we there? When Elijah went to this brook and everything else had dried up, and appears like there might not have been the ability for him to go out and get food on his own. When he was in need, it was there, and God said it would be there. And I'm telling you this morning that when your brook dries up, God is gonna be there. Amen? Amen. God is going to be there. Even if the brook dries up, if he goes silent, he's still there. Don't let that fool you. He's still there when the brook dries. When your finances run out, when a family relationship runs out, friends run out, when the brook goes dry, God is still there, and he has a provision, he has a plan, and he will use it for you. He will use it for you. And I had, there's so many times, there's so many different ways that we find ourselves in a place where we need to trust God. For Elijah, it was a brook, and later the widow's house. For Noah, there was the ark. For Daniel, there was a prayer room that led to the lion's den. For the Hebrew boys, there was a fiery furnace. For Ruth, there was a field owned by Boaz. For David, there was a throne of Israel. For Paul, there was a prison cell. For Jesus, there was the cross. And all these places were the there that they were placed in. And I believe that the there that you will find yourself in, and God tells you to go, and it don't make sense, that's your there. But trust, because God is there, and he will supply all your needs. Someone has said there's one predictable characteristic of God, and that is that he is unpredictable. I love it. I love our God like that. You know, we think we have him figured out. We think we have all the answers. We have worked through it. We're smart. We know. All of a sudden, he gives an order that doesn't make sense. He gives an order that doesn't make sense, and we're called to trust. At Cherith, God supplied Elijah's needs with water. He supplied his needs with food and bread, with meat and bread. Everything is wonderful. Everything's going along good. He's sitting there by the brook. He's learning to trust God. You know, I wonder if he woke up every morning and wondered if the ravens were going to show up today or not. I don't think so. I think it came to the point where Elijah was just, he knew that God would supply for him, and these birds kept coming with meat, and the water kept flowing, and all of a sudden, the brook dried up. One day, it dried off, and the only thing that was left was God. The only thing that was left was God. And that's where many of us might find ourselves today. I'm kind of amused, you know, with the whole, supply and demand and being hard to get materials and things like that. And, you know, Bylers, we did good for quite a while where we were able to get our stuff that we needed to sell, and now it's getting a little more difficult. And all of a sudden you realize that, hey, this can change. This can change. And I took an area of a flower garden out this summer, and I got a bag of seed, grass seed, to put on. And the neighbor man, he gave me one of those spinner things that you strap on your shoulders. You dump the seed into it, and you walk along, and the seed flies out. And I dumped the seed in there, and I started across that area that was prepared, and it was flying out there nice. It was covering the ground really nice. And I started to look into the bag, and there was no way I was going to make it to the end and still have seed left. See, all of a sudden, you know, just this abundance of seed wasn't there. Didn't have it. Maybe you're finding yourself at that place this morning. Maybe you're finding yourself at the place where it's dried up. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a bank account. Maybe it's a job security. Whatever it might be, it's dried up. There's an important lesson to learn, and I'm going to read something from, Karen has a devotional book called From Streams in the Desert. Been laying there a long time, but there was one that Karen read recently that she shared with me, and I'm going to share it with you. In Isaiah 50, verse 10, it says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." And then he says this, "What is a believer to do in times of darkness? A darkness of perplexities and confusion. A darkness not of the heart, but of the mind." There's these times of darkness come to faithful, believing disciple who is walking obediently in the will of God. They come as seasons when he does not know what to do or which way to turn. His sky becomes overcast with clouds. The clear light of heaven does not shine on his path, so that he feels as if he were groping his way through complete darkness. Dear believer, does this describe you? What should you do in times of darkness? Listen to God's word. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Actually, the first thing to do is to do nothing. This is a difficult thing for our lowly human nature to do. There is a saying, when you're rattled, don't rush. In other words, when you are confused and do not know what to do, do nothing. When you find yourself in a spiritual fog, do not run ahead, but slow the pace of your life. And if necessary, keep your life's ship anchored or tied to the dock. The right thing is simply to trust God, for while we trust, he can work. Worrying, however, prevents him from doing anything for us. If the darkness covering us strikes terror in our hearts and we run back and forth, seeking in vain to find a way of escape from the dark trial where God's providence has placed us, then the Lord cannot work on our behalf. Only the peace of God will quiet our minds and put our hearts at rest. We must place our hand in his little hand, in his as a little child, and allow him to lead us into the bright sunshine of his love. He knows the way out of the dense, dark forest. So may we climb into his arms, trusting him to rescue us by showing us the shortest and most reliable road. This is written by Dr. Partington. And it just stood out to me that I think we find ourselves in that place that when our brook dries up, when things start to become insecure, the first thing we do is we run around, we try to find a way. When you get in a fog, I was driving to work one day, driving to Bylers one day last week, and or this week, I don't know which one it was, but anymore, weeks become months and years. And And anyway, I was driving in fog, and this was very foggy. I haven't driven in fog like that for a long time. You know, I was never tempted at one point to accelerate and go faster and try and get through the fog or find a spot where there was no fog. You know, that's stupid, but that's how we act. We find ourselves in a place where the brook has dried up and God is trying to speak to us. God is trying to assure us that he is still God. He's still on the throne. He still cares. He still has ravens. He still has widows that will feed and meet your needs, however he decides to do it. Stop running around trying to find and to get through the fog. Someone told me one time, when you're in a trial, embrace the fire. Embrace the fire. Let it purify you. Let it make you a child of faith. Let it make you a person that is a believer. Let it make you that person that believes what God will do. And then again, getting back to the point where sometimes God simply wants to move us. Sometimes God simply wants to get our focus off of the source, off of the supply, off of the stuff, and back on him. Because it's when we lose the stuff, when we lose the money, when we lose the food, when we lose friends, when we lose freedoms. It's in those times that we have to trust in an almighty God. We have to when we have these things, but we forget, and God wants to move us. He wants to move us to a place where he can use us to his honor and glory. That's exactly what happened here. Let's read on in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." Do not fear. And I say to you, do not fear. Do not fear. We have an awesome God. We have an awesome God. And he will provide what you need. What you need. What you need. I have a lot of things I want, but I have what I need. I have what I need. Do not fear. And he said, and go and do as you have, you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Now it happened after these things. This is what I want to point out, that Elijah was where God wanted him to be, and God was able to show himself God through Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Simple as saying he died. There was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "By this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had Elijah stayed by the brook, what if Elijah would have never went to the brook? What if when God told him, when Elijah went to Ahab and shared the coming of the drought, and God said, "Elijah, go to this brook and I'll feed you there." And what if Elijah would have reasoned in his mind and said, "No, that's ridiculous. You can't, that's not impossible. You know, how there's nothing around there to eat. How would I do?" But God told him to go there and that he would feed him, and he went. And so he stayed there by that brook, and I believe that his faith was built by that brook that God provided for him. Then the brook dried up. And then Elijah could have again said, well, it's dry. I mean, where am I going to go? Why would I go to a widow? Why would I go to a widow? We're supposed to care for them. We're supposed to reach out to them. Why would I go there and get food from a widow? Doesn't make sense, does it? So if Elijah would have chosen to reason in his mind and say, it doesn't make sense, I'm not going, what would have happened? But in this case, Elijah did. He heard from God. He went and he was there. They saw this flower and his oil never get old, and this lady's son raised to life. And then it goes on to the next chapter, which I'm not going to go into. But again, like I said, where the 450 prophets of Baal were called out and God sent fire down from heaven. What if Elijah would have chose to stay by that brook? Maybe God's calling you to something ridiculous or seems ridiculous this morning. I challenge you to answer the call. I challenge you to answer the call. Trust him. Trust him. Maybe you have been blessed with wealth and food and things like that. And maybe you have a neighbor. Maybe you have somebody that God is asking you to provide for. You say, but God, I have retirement coming up. I can't just give this stuff away. Yes, you can. Because there's ravens that will fill the need. Do you trust God? Do you trust him enough that if he says, get on my back, we're going to walk across this tightrope? Do you trust him enough to get on his back and go with him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this story. I thank you, Father, that you have given us a glimpse into who you are. We don't know you completely. There is no way for us to know that. But Lord, we recognize you as a God that cares about our needs. We recognize you as a God that uses unique ways to move us from one place to another. God, I pray this morning that our hearts and our minds would be fixed on you. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would not become absorbed in the gift and miss the giver. God, refine our hearts. Make us one with you, Lord. We want to hear you. We want to follow you. We want to walk with you, Lord. And in this day of needing to trust you, Lord, I pray, Father, that we'd be able to develop that kind of trust that Elijah had, in that what you said, he followed. He did. He didn't question. Doesn't appear like he questioned it. He just did it. So, Lord, for us this morning, for this fellowship, Lord, I pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. I pray for wisdom as we fellowship together, as we journey this life together here at New Covenant. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom to journey together, encouraging each other on the way and helping us, Lord, to become people of trust that will completely rely on you and not the things and the stuff that you have given us. For these things and stuff, we are grateful, Lord, and we thank you for it. But Lord, when the brook dries up, I pray that we would have that same trust and faith in you without whining and complaining. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the chorister to come and lead us in song.